Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
23rd of April, it's Tuesday. Good morning. This is Market View. Joining me as we break down all the market action, I've invited Willie King, author of the Dividend Titan Finance blog, to sit in the hot seat. How are you, Willie? Good morning.
The seat feels hot this morning, Michelle. I mean, it's been a very hot weather, I mean, recently, isn't it?
It has, I have to say. But you also have been, you know, warming that seat for a while. All right, let's start the morning with the world of Singapore corporate earnings and announcements from a high-profile REIT and a locally listed tech company. Our two firms in focus this morning are CapitaLand Ascendas REIT and Nanofilm Technologies. Now, I want to start with Nanofilm. It develops and sells thin coatings, like a super tiny layer that can make products more durable, more environmentally friendly. Nanofilm netted $39 million in the first quarter of the year, and that is nearly 20% better than a year earlier. Some acquisitions involved, but Willie, what's driving Nanofilm's business?
I think one thing is interesting is all revolves about technology. And of course, one thing in focus is smartphones, because Nanofilms, they are actually focused in smartphones, and smartphones were the biggest contributor of their revenue, accounting for 44% of the revenue. So that's almost half. And Nanofilm so far, you know, they are also bringing new customers to actually try to grow the business. So I think this is something which they are really riding on, you know, technology. They are riding on consumer electronics, and in particular, smartphones. I mean, this comes in comparison to, you know, last year where they didn't do really pretty well in their profits.
And they also saw inaugural contributions from a German thin film coating solutions provider whose name I will not attempt to pronounce because it's at least nine syllables. But Nanofilm acquired this in December 2023. Shares of Nanofilm Technologies have been under significant selling pressure for about 3 years now. You remember back in 2021, the stock was trading at about $6 a share. Today, it trades at around 60 cents. Perhaps these latest profit numbers will give the stock a boost. Let's next turn to CapitaLand Ascendas REIT. Now, its portfolio includes properties in Singapore, Australia, the US and the UK. And these include data centers, IT companies, backroom support for financial services and much, much more. CapitaLand Ascendas REIT says the occupancy rate dipped slightly during the first quarter of the year, but it's also able to charge higher rents on 17% of its leases. What's the latest here, Willie?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Ascendas REIT, I think they have done actually pretty well. If you see how their performance is, they saw average rental rates go up by about 17% in the first quarter of 2024. And this was up from 15% in terms of their rental reversion rate in the previous quarter. So they are able to actually push higher rental rates in across their industrial properties across all their tenants. And in fact, because they are diversified property across the world, even in the US, they saw a positive rental reversion about 16%. So this really comes into comparison, you know, when you're talking about US commercial spaces struggling and having some occupancy issues. Ascendas seems to be doing pretty well in this regards here. So it's pretty interesting here, despite the fact that, you know, you have a high interest rate environment, the Fed is potentially delaying their rate cuts. One thing, I guess, to look out for is Ascendas' rising borrowing costs, because that has sort of crept slightly higher, and that is also showing in their first quarterly results.
Ascendas bucking the trend when it comes to rents in the US, with a positive rental reversion in the US to the tune of 16%. Shares of CapitaLand Ascendas REIT are down 12% over the past 3 months. Willie, I realize these are just two companies, and many more, particularly in the real estate sector, are going to be reporting numbers soon. What are your biggest takeaways so far?
So when we are looking at companies, right, what's interesting is, on one hand, you are looking at a lot of US companies, for example, especially in technology, they are actually driving profits, but a lot of it is coming from the technology sector, because you're seeing a lot of the profit margins expanding in there, and that's driving the S&P 500. But on the other hand, it just seems that the non-tech sectors are pretty much muted, so you don't really get to see very strong performance, although periodically you get to see some good high-quality companies showing good profit margins. So that's something which made me think, you know, the companies which are driving growth today is very different from the companies which are seeing 15, 20 years ago, because number one, a lot more technology companies grow much faster. They are able to command a much higher profit margin as compared to, let's say, industrial companies, which are 15, 20 years ago, where they might not grow as fast as, let's say, tech companies. So that's something which I'm sort of seeing, you know, observing as some of these earnings seasons are coming out. And on the property side, on one hand, you're looking at interest rates at an elevated in an elevated environment. On the other hand, right, you have some of the weaker REITs, maybe not performing very well, but on the other hand, you have the bigger, safer names. They seem to be managing quite well. On top of that, they're also pretty careful in terms of the acquisitions. That means what they're buying as well. Because when interest rates is high, you also want to be looking for assets which are yielding much higher than your borrowing cost. And this is pretty tricky because right now we are at in an environment where you have sort of an elevated property prices. So trying to find new deals can be a bit challenging for some of these real estate companies.
Yesterday on the show, you know, we talked about how the Singapore market has been range bound. And I asked you, Willie, what would it take for Singapore stocks to do better? And I thought it was interesting today, the Singapore Exchange has a proposal to do just that. At least one idea, one change to improve corporate governance and to give markets a boost in this process. S3X would like to make it easier for shareholders to call special meetings. These meetings can increase pressure on corporate boards and shake up their membership. What is the latest here? The headline's interesting. Singapore puts company directors on notice. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you see Singapore Exchange is proposing rule basically to just make life easier for shareholders to call special general meetings.
Yep.
And also to improve transparency and corporate governance. Now, the thing is, right, one thing is good is, of course, you have corporate transparency, which, of course, you know, when it comes to many of the smaller companies in Singapore, sometimes there might not be very up-to-date corporate disclosures. Now, on the other hand, I think one thing which is important as Singapore Exchange opens this up, it's also important to educate the shareholders or the investors, because if you see a lot of the majority of the shareholders and investors of maybe smaller companies or mid-sized companies, they tend to be retail investors. They might not be very educated in thinking about how to conduct and ask questions when it comes to general meeting. Because so what if you can actually organize a special general meeting? Next question is, how am I going to approach the management? How am I going to ask the questions, the right questions to do that? And I think in this case, education is important. So it goes hand in hand. On one hand, SG Redco has done this proposal well, but on the other hand, I feel that Singapore Exchange should also kickstart some form of education to help retail investors. People like myself, you know, sometimes I don't even know what questions to ask those right questions.
Running out of questions, I find it hard to believe. But when you've attended some of these meetings, I'm sure, Willie, do you get a sense that plenty of investors don't have a sense of the right questions to ask when it comes to operational performance or questions in their benefit?
So the problem, one thing which happened, okay, I'll say one notable event was actually going through restructuring meetings, for example. So where you're talking about companies trying to restructure in terms of their bonds. And one thing which clouds many of the objective questions is because people go in there not very happy, because most of the time when these general meetings are called, people might not be satisfied with management, for example, and that anger or maybe dissatisfaction might cloud proper judgment, because you want to go in there with an objective mindset. Okay, this is going to happen. How am I going to solve it? What questions I should ask? Not going there, you know, trying to bang
to
on the
vent.
Table.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-mm. Good point. Already, it's 14 minutes past 9. Radio time moves faster than usual, I think. So we have to swing over to the US now, where US stocks rallied overnight and managed to claw back a big chunk of last week's losses. Tech stocks really led the way. The Nasdaq closed up more than 1%. The S&P 500 not far behind. The Dow finished up 0.2%. Now, one stock that did not do well was Tesla. It fell nearly 3.5% ahead of its earnings announcement tomorrow morning. Shares of the EV maker are down more than 40%. Since the beginning of the year. Now, what are you looking for from Tesla's earnings, Willie?
I think the one thing which is very clear is, number one, the price and the amount of deliveries which they're doing. Because automakers, traditionally, they have been very, very competitive. They are in a competitive industry. I mean, if you think about what Warren Buffett says, there were 10, 20,000 automakers when the first car was being produced. But the number of automakers, tens of thousands, have shrunk over the years, really because of competition. it might be the same for electric vehicles as well. And one thing which I'm looking out for is the deliveries, because Tesla's deliveries might be expected to fall about less than 400,000 vehicles. And one of the key drivers could be the deliveries in China, because China has been very, very aggressive. Their own electric vehicle manufacturers have been very aggressive in coming out with very high quality EVs and at and a very affordable price range. So that's something which I am actually looking out for Tesla.
Couple more notes about Tesla. It is lowering car prices in China. This in the face of intense competition, as you brought up, in the EV market there. Some analysts say the China price cuts there could cost Tesla the entirety of its operating profits there. In the meantime, Tesla is doing an about-face on marketing. It slashed a newly formed growth content team in the U.S. as part of company-wide layoffs. These retrenchments, by the way, have come as a shock to many Tesla employees who arrived at work only to find their security passes no longer worked. We'll have more about Elon Musk's the car maker tomorrow when it posts earnings. Have you noticed more Teslas on the roads here?
You know, when my wife drives and we were just observing, right, I was just surprised, like all the Teslas on the road, like different colours, and I'm thinking, wow. The first question is, where do people get all their money from? Because it's not cheap as compared to, let's say, in the States, especially in Singapore.
Yes, yes. Good point. It is. I'm going to have a car maker come in soon from a brand, and I'm going to ask him about the competition. He's not from Tesla, but I'll ask him about the competition he's seeing from Tesla, at least in the local market, in terms of what people want. I'm seeing a lot of white Teslas, Willie, I have to say.
What's your favorite color, Michelle?
Cappuccino. A cappuccino car is my dream.
That is very unique.
Yeah.
For me, I'll go for plain old white. white or a navy blue.
Okay, sounds very smart, like you. All right, time for corporate earnings and our daily game of up or down, Willie. First up, let's look at the Chinese tech giant Tencent.
Tencent is an up for me after it released its much-anticipated Dungeon and Fighter mobile game on expected on the 21st of May after 7 years of development.
Wow.
So this is something pretty interesting, especially when you're talking about a company where they have been dominating the gaming space in China. I mean, they have roughly about 40%+ market share. And even though in the international market, it's probably about 5% market share. So I think it's something interesting in order to fortify their position as a top gaming company.
It is interesting. Tencent actually moved up the launch date for this game. It's one of the most eagerly awaited mobile games. And if you want to flex a little in conversations, you can refer to it as DNF Mobile, because that's short form for Dungeon and Fighter. But that's what, you know, the people in the know are referring to it as DNF Mobile. It's going to be rolled out in about a month, and investors really like the sound of that. Tencent shares have rallied more than 5% on the news. That is their biggest one-day gain since February. So I will join you and give Tencent an up there. All right, next up, Taylor Swift, up or down, and are you a Swiftie?
I'm neutral, although I prefer Korean pop stars.
Okay. No judgment.
Well, for Taylor Swift, it's an up for me, despite being neutral. This comes after South London Park was named in the title of a track on Taylor Swift's new album. And her new album was actually the most streamed album in a single day, which has actually forced many people to flock that particular pub in London.
Interesting. So the new album is called The Tortured Poets Department, and it has become the first album to amass 200 million streams in a single day, and it didn't stop there. More than 300 million listeners streamed the album the day that it launched. Definitely an up. The album, it's a double album, by the way, is a surprise. It's provoking some controversy. It's a two-hour epic with 31 songs, and some critics say the music is simply not her best. But that doesn't seem to be stopping the Swifties from dissecting every word and looking for, you know, those hidden allusions with her songs. So I join you there. It has to be an up. Wow. I mean, look at that. 300 million listeners on day one of the album's drop. Amazing. Let's turn to commodities now with gold.
Gold is a down for me after it has retracted sharply from its recent high. And this was partly influenced by a reduced geopolitical risk and a strengthening dollar. Mm. So far, this comes in the midst where the Fed officials are trying to maintain a hawkish stance on interest rates. And this could be pressuring gold prices. I mean, for gold, gold prices do well in times of not or a not so good economy. But now that you are seeing a sort of a overheated economy with, you know, pretty positive US inflation data, this could actually put some pressure on gold prices.
Good point. Gold has been on a big rally and has been trading at record prices. Our last entry is StarHub.
This is a very tricky situation because it's very hard to decide whether it's up or down. So I'm going to go for a down here, just a bit contrarian. So what happened is that StarHub is looking to sell one of its business, cybersecurity business, and to go public before October 2025. Now, the good thing is that you can actually get some cash, you know, from selling the business. Now, the not so good thing is that after selling, where are you going to put the money? I mean, where are you going to redeploy the money for StarHub? Because this business, according to analysts, are saying that, you know, it's growing at a very strong compounded annual growth rate. You know, they probably got it at a very good price when they buy it or develop their software, and they've been making good profits on it. So after you sell it, where are you going to redeploy or reinvest the business in? And especially, you know, for a cybersecurity business, it does contribute some amount of revenue.
In the meantime, in the short-term view, Ensign spin-off and public listing is leading to some optimism. So DBS raising its target price for StarHub to $1.54 a share. I love it when we disagree, Willie and I, because you get two views. So it's an up for me, it's a down from Willie. On to Asian markets now. Across the region, just about every market started the week off on a positive note yesterday. The only major exceptions were China and Indonesia. Hong Kong led the way on the back of news that regulators are going to support the listing of mainland companies on the Hong Kong exchange. The Hang Seng Index jumped nearly 1.8%. Singapore not too far behind. The STI rallied 1.5% yesterday. Now, Seatrium, whose shares have been in the gutter, was the biggest gainer amongst blue chips yesterday. It looked like bargain hunters stepped in. Seatrium's share price jumped 7.8%. The stock is still down 30% since the beginning of the year. I need your take on Seatrium, Willie.
Seatrium is something where there have been some form of controversial issues in terms of the contract's termination, because one of their offshore and marine giants has been ordered to pay about $108 million to a US drilling service provider called HMH. And this ruling was made under the rules of the Singapore International Arbitration Center. And what happened was that in this case, there were some disputes where the Norwegian oil services investment firm Aker Thor said that the contracts were originally entered in 2012, but they were only terminated in the Jurong by the Jurong Shipyard in 2021 and 2022. And it was, you know, really because of some conflicts or disputes between two parties.
All right. On the other end of the table, DBS was the biggest loser amongst the STI constituents. It fell nearly 6.5%. Do we know why DBS shares took such a big hit yesterday?
I think it's probably because of the bonus share issue, because they did do the dividends payout, but they paid in form of a bonus share. That means for every one share you own, you get a 10 extra shares from DBS and not paying out cash. Mm. Now, the not so good thing here, the bad thing is that it sort of dilutes the per share earnings of DBS. So that might not take, investors might not take it too well. On the other hand, it could actually lower the price to allow new investors or retail investors with a smaller pocket to invest in the bank itself. So this comes having said that DBS actually reported pretty healthy results among the three local banks here.
Let's check on DBS's share price for you at 24 minutes past 9 this morning at $34.44. So trading at a gain of 1.08%. DBS finished yesterday just above $34 a share. For our last word today, we're going to travel to Hong Kong. But first, let me ask, are you a bubble tea fan?
Oh, I love bubble tea,
really?
Michelle. The last cup I had was actually just yesterday, which was just near my house.
I never knew that. Now I know. Lots of bubble tea coming your way. Well, bubble tea is huge business. And today, China's number three bubble tea company, Sichuan Baicha Baidao, is listing in Hong Kong. What do you think of that?
I think it's a pretty interesting, a refreshing take. I mean, if you look at Hong Kong's market, it's dominated by financials, technology, property, and bringing the food and beverage business into play could add actually give some life to the Hong Kong market. Having seen that it has been struggling in a bear market since, you know, the last 4 to 5 years.
It's aiming to raise more than $300 million. This is the biggest Hong Kong listing since November. Sounds like a sweet rush to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the founders have opened their first outlet in 2008 and they have turbocharged it with franchise models, more than 8,000 stores.
Wow.
Yeah, and in Singapore, I think there are a lot of bubble tea. The thing about bubble tea here, one thing which I realized is that despite how competitive the business is, for this company, it seems like they have made in China, they've made about half a dozen billionaires in China over the last few years. Despite growing competition, despite all the players coming into the market.
Listen, there has to be a book out about bubble tea billionaires versus the mala tang business billionaires.
If you're going to take the interview, Michelle, tell me when the date is. I want to listen. And I'm going to get the book.
Will you buy the book?
Of the interviewee whom you're interviewing.
Thank you. And just on a sort of a note about bubble tea and its level of popularity, somebody just showed me this made in Singapore baby cup that is multi-purpose. So it's a sippy cup for baby, and then you change the top and it becomes a bubble tea cup for mama.
For the kids?
No, for the mum. That's for what I asked. I said, what, bubble tea for the kid? And they said, no, the bubble tea is for the mum. It's like a universal cup, but the fact that they fitted it out for bubble tea.
Because of the bubbles.
Exactly.
I want to check it out.
Remarkable. Hegan is the brand.
Oh, Singapore-based brand.
Yes, yes. Very well known. All right. Well, thank you so much, Willie. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Michelle.
This is Market View. I'm Michelle Martin. He's Willie King. Check out his finance blog, The Dividend Titan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.